Did you ever have someone ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did that ever happen to anybody in here? Yeah, a lot of you are shaking your heads like, I don't have an answer for that yet. I know that I did. I got asked that question a lot as I was growing up. And over the years, my answers changed depending on when you asked me. And so if you had asked 5-year-old Taylor what she wanted to be when she grew up, it would probably have been a princess. If you asked 10-year-old Taylor what she wanted to be when she grew up, it was a teacher. And then if you asked 15-year-old Taylor, it was a baker. So throughout time, my thoughts changed. And it's interesting to see how our perspectives change throughout the years. But it seems that we've all been asked this question at one time or another. And so I want to ask you this. Have you ever stopped to think about where that curiosity comes from? What makes us wonder about others and what they will be when they grow up? I think at the very center of our beings as humans, we long for a purpose, and we long to know what that purpose looks like in other people's lives too. I was working through a Bible study a few weeks ago, and the topic was talking about longing, how we as people long to have a place in this world, and finding that place comes from understanding our purpose. God created us for a purpose, and to understand our purpose, we first have to take a look at the creation of the world. So this morning, I want us to take a look back to the beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And each day, God created something new. First, he created light. He separated light from darkness and called the darkness night and the light day. Then God created a vault to separate water, and under the water, he created a vault to separate water under and water below it, and he called the vault sky. Under the sky, he gathered into one place dry ground called land. The water that he gathered together, he called seas. And then God told the land to produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees that will bear fruit. And God saw that it was good. Then God created two great lights to govern the sky. One that was lesser for night, called the moon, which also had stars sprinkled in the sky. And then the greater light, the sun, for day. And God saw that it was good. Then God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it. And he saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And he saw that it was good. Finally, on the sixth day, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God, creator of the universe, of the tiniest little bug, all the way to the most intricate, gigantic rock formation that you can think of, created the whole world and thought that you were important enough to be in it too. And not only did he think you were important enough to create and be in this world, he made me and you in his image and entrusted his creation to our care. The last several weeks, we've been talking about stewardship. And I think you know by now, but a steward is someone who is tasked with looking after or managing something. God made us the stewards of his creation. And what's in his creation? All the things we just listed above. The land, the sea, animals both in land and sea, plants, and man and woman, his greatest creation. That part he called very good. So no big deal, right? We're created in the image of God and asked to care for his creation from the tiniest bug all the way to the greatest mountain, and not to mention each other. Seems pretty simple, right? Not quite. It's one of the greatest tasks we will ever be given in this life. It's why we were created. It was our God-given purpose, even greater than any job we will ever have while on this earth. Listen to this quote from Barbara Brown Taylor, cluing us in on how we can be good stewards. She says, take what you have, whatever you have, take it into your hands and hold it lightly, very lightly. Then bless it, thank God for what you have, and make it holy by giving it away for love. Then break it. Sorry, but you have to tear it up and share it. There's no way to keep it all in one nice piece. And finally, give it to whoever is standing in front of you, beside you. Spread it around. And never mind that there does not seem to be enough for everyone. What we have does not belong to us. It belongs to the creator of the world, to God. And we, his children, are a part of his creation. When we view stewardship through this perspective of holding things lightly, it can change our mentality of how we view ownership of things and what our true calling as God's people looks like. To give, to serve, and to love with all that we have, because all that we have has been given to us to be shared. The text for today reminds us how we can find encouragement while on this earth caring for God's creation, but it also challenges us to remember our ultimate purpose for one day standing in front of our Maker to account for how we managed what he gave us. Starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says this, therefore do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I'm not exactly sure when this started, but probably a few years ago, I started giving this response when Kevin, my husband, would ask me how my day was. And if it wasn't a particularly good day, this is what I would say. The conversation would start like this. How was your day? I'd respond, oh, you know, just waiting for Jesus to come back. Although it was funny to begin with, It definitely clued Kevin in onto how my day was going. Over time, the more I thought about it, what I was saying, it helped me put things into perspective. This world in which we were created for and live in is challenging, to say the least. But this world is not our home. It is not our eternal resting place. We are simply on a journey, passing through. In that study I was telling you about, the author writes, we now live in the tension between the purpose of God and the purpose of man. So much of the culture that we live in pulls us to go one way, and we reach for new goals, new achievements. But some of those directions are so far away from God, we have to be careful, and we have to be careful with what we allow ourselves to consume in our thoughts, our feelings, and our drives. Romans 12:2 reminds us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Each day that we are given on this earth, we should strive to seek Him, to seek His will, to care for others the way He wants us to love others the way He has commanded us to, and to rest in the hope that we are being renewed each and every day up until that final day when we will be reunited with our Maker in heaven. Our eternal glory is what we seek, what motivates us, and what keeps us going. Continuing on with our scripture for today, in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we are not found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." It's natural for us to want to be with Jesus, our Creator. It's natural to express frustration from the way this world functions and creates even more separation between us and our Creator. But Jesus, as a way of assuring us that this world is not our final destination, gave us the Holy Spirit to continually help us as we travel in this earthly tent and carry the weight of its load. The Holy Spirit seeks to correct us by nudging us in the direction commanded of us as His people and as stewards of His creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 tells us, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Again, we are not our own. We are made in the image of God and to be stewards of His creation. The Holy Spirit helps us to be good stewards of ourselves as part of God's creation. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, it tells us, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of you may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. As stewards of God's creation, we are called to remain faithful. And how do we remain faithful? By being rooted in faith. We live by faith, not by sight." George Mueller issued a statement to us as God's people of faith when he said this, "God delights to increase the faith of His children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hands as a means. I say, and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of His hands as evidences of His love and care for us in developing more and more that faith which He is seeking to strengthen in us. It is often that we face trials or adversities that we find ourselves trusting in God the most fiercely or completely because we don't have anything else to cling to. And it is in those moments we experience the love, protection, and greatness of our Creator God. Our faith allows us to experience Christ's presence without seeing His face. It brings us comfort. It carries us when we feel as though we cannot go on anymore. It reminds us of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf so that we can live in God's creation on this earth and ultimately one day reunite with Him in heaven. What a glorious thing to look forward to. I find it appropriate that we end this series on stewardship today right before we celebrate Thanksgiving. I was getting ready for this sermon earlier in the week, and my dad called me, and he asked if I was preaching this Sunday. And I said, yes, actually I am. And he said, oh good, are you going to be sharing a message about giving thanks to God for all that He's done for us, you know, since Thanksgiving's coming up? And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, Dad, actually I am. Thank you. You just helped me. You see, if we think about it, when we're thankful for something or someone, we tend to prioritize it, don't we? When we understand the significance or value of something that we are glad to have or be a part of, we tend to hold it in a higher regard than something we take for granted. God, the creator of the universe, created you, and when He took a step back to see what He had done, He said, you were very good. Not just good, like those plants, animals, sea, sky, stars, day, night, which are all pretty amazing things, but He said that man was very good. Man was created to be stewards of God's creation with our time, our talents, our money, all that we have. In this season, as we give thanks to God for all that He has done for us, let us not forget to not only give thanks, but to strive to be good stewards of all that He has given to us. Let us be thankful and let us live in a way that gives back for all that He has given to us. Because as a part of His creation, we too are reminded that just like everything else that belongs to God, we do too. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be a part of your creation, that you were important enough to, that we were important enough to be added to your creation. And not only that we were added, but that we were given the opportunity to care for it. God, I pray that you would help us to be good stewards of our time, of our money, of our love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.